Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those faithful women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, some of the very first people on earth to be eyewitnesses of the resurrection. In the gospel we heard just a few moments ago, it was those faithful women who were the first to arrive at the tomb on Easter Sunday morning to anoint Jesus' body that they fully expected to be found still in that tomb where they witnessed him being buried 2 days before. But they were the first eyewitnesses of the stone rolled away, of the empty tomb, and of the angel who was the first to proclaim the Easter gospel. He is not here. He has risen. Within a few hours, they themselves would be witnesses, not just of an empty tomb, but of the risen Savior himself, who would greet them and prove to them once and for all it was true. Jesus had risen. And this now forms the foundation of our faith. We preach a Jesus who was crucified and truly died in payment for the sins of all mankind. And we preach a Jesus who truly was raised from the dead bodily, who truly lives now and will never die again. This is our faith. This is the Christian faith. Without it, there is no Christian faith. And because he lives now, Jesus can finish his work of salvation. And you say, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say from the cross before he died, "It is finished"? And yes, he did. And yes, it was. All of his work to become the perfect substitute for mankind, all of his sacrificial giving of himself on the cross to cover the sins of all, to redeem mankind, to pay for all sin, it was finished. Every work that ever needs to be done to please God and to satisfy his wrath and to fulfill his holy righteous law has been done by Jesus. It is finished. Every drop of blood that must be spilt to pay the wages of sin has been spilt by Jesus. It is finished. That work of salvation that Jesus accomplished, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, has been acquired by Jesus for the world. The part of the salvation history that remains is not your part that you have to fulfill, that you have to do. The part that remains is his part too. The part that remains is for the salvation that he acquired for all to be delivered to men, one by one. You don't go searching for it. You don't try to climb up into heaven. You don't try to run back to Calvary's cross or even to the empty tomb. You won't find salvation there. You'll find it where Jesus brings it to you now. Jesus brings his finished work of redemption to you. He brings it to you by sending his Holy Spirit, which brings us to our final catechism emphasis that we've been reviewing in this Lenten and now Easter season, the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We begin, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do? His work is absolutely critical for salvation. Jesus said, "The one who believes in me has eternal life." Or maybe you know that more familiar Bible passage that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It's believing in the Son of God. It's faith in him as the Redeemer. Faith that relies on his accomplished, finished work. Faith in Christ that gives his life to you, that gives his forgiveness to you, that gives his salvation to you. But here's the problem. Faith is something that you can't come up with. The faith that you so desperately need, that connects you to Christ and all of his finished work, is not something you can muster up in yourself. We confess that in our explanation to the Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. You have no strength or ability to muster up faith in yourself that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, or that his death on the cross truly pays for your sins, or that he rose from the dead and offers and gives you life as a gift. But faith doesn't come from you. Faith is God's work too. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we say in our catechism, has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Faith comes, you know how it finishes. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard by the word of Christ. Jesus sends forth his Holy Spirit. He can do that because he lives. He sends forth his Holy Spirit now and puts him into the proclamation of the gospel, the Good Friday and Easter Sunday gospel, and convinces you to believe it, convinces you to repent and trust in this Jesus who gave his life for you and rose again. He convinces you just as he convinces people throughout the world, and as our catechism goes on, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. He does that for unbelievers and turns them into believers. That's what we call conversion. He does it for believers too. After he brings you to faith, to trust in Jesus, he keeps working. He keeps sanctifying you to convince you no longer to live for yourself, but to live for him who died for you and was raised again. He continues to work in you to bring you to daily repentance and renewal of faith each day. He keeps you in the true faith. You can't do that by yourself either. Because he lives, Jesus now sends his Spirit forth into the world to gather and keep a holy Christian church on earth, a big congregation of believers throughout the world who believes in the finished work of redemption that Jesus accomplished. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do this work magically or automatically. He calls you to faith and keeps you in faith through what we call the means of grace. We summarize that in the Apostles' Creed with the phrase, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Stop and think about that. If you believe in the forgiveness of sins, then you must believe in some other things too. You must believe that you have some sins to forgive. And you're right to believe that. On the first Easter Sunday, on the evening of that first day of the week, Jesus appeared to his disciples in that upper room. And this is what he said. He opened up the Old Testament scriptures to his disciples. And he said, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." To preach repentance in the name of Christ is to proclaim to all people everywhere, you must repent. You must recognize that you have sinned against a holy God, no matter who you are, no matter how good and decent you think you are or have been. That's not how God sees you. He sees you as someone who has not worshipped him as he ought to be worshipped, as someone who has followed your own way instead of his. And you must surely die for those sins. And that simple truth, proclaimed in God's law, empowered by the Holy Spirit, convinces people that it's true. And you have to know it's true. You're guilty. You deserve to die. But then comes this statement, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." To believe in the forgiveness of sins is not only to believe that you have sins to forgive, but that there is a God who is willing to forgive you, not just because, but because Jesus bore the punishment for your sins. All of it. It is finished. And if you believe in the forgiveness of sins, it is to believe that he really and truly offers you the forgiveness of sins, where he says he offers it, which is not just anywhere, but there in the means of grace, in this proclamation of the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ. In this word that Jesus has authorized his called servants to proclaim, to absolve sin, to proclaim a person forgiven, there is his power to convince. In the holy baptism that you received, either long ago or not so long ago, there he offers forgiveness of sins and gives it to you one by one. Here in the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper, he offers it to each one by one, forgiveness of sins. What a load off. What a burden lifted. As we confess in the Catechism, in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. Now you can live. Now the guilt that was there can be taken away because you know where God placed it, on the cross of Jesus. Now, with belief in the forgiveness of sins, you can face the next phrase of the Apostles' Creed: "I believe in the resurrection of the body." Understand what that means. It's not just Jesus' body. Yes, we believe that Jesus' body was raised from the dead too, never to die again. But this phrase in the Apostles' Creed means your body and the body of everyone. At the last day, the Christ who died, the Christ who is risen, will come again, and there will be a judgment. And as Scripture says, there will be a resurrection both of the righteous and of the wicked. But the last part of the Apostles' Creed, the life everlasting, is not for everyone. It's for the righteous, not the wicked. Death everlasting awaits those who deny Jesus, who live in rebellion against this Jesus, who try to claim any work but his before God. So who are the righteous? The righteous are the ones who claim only the righteousness of Christ before God, who rely on his sacrifice and his resurrected life to make everything okay with God. They are the ones who believe in him who is the resurrection and the life. These believers, these saints even, the Scripture calls them, not because Their lives are saintly because faith makes them saintly in God's sight. These believers, these saints, will inherit the life everlasting. And we confess, on the last day he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. On this Easter day, take a good hard look at yourself, at your body, at your young, healthy, beautiful body that won't stay that way much longer. Take a good hard look at your ailing body, your broken body, your old, old body that is soon to give out. And you remember the resurrection of the body. You remember the new, glorified, never again dying, ever living body of Jesus and his promise to give you one of those on the last day. Glorified like his, never to die again, so that you can spend the life everlasting with him and with all who have believed in him. That is what you have to look forward to through faith in Jesus. Only hold on just a little bit longer. No one can take this promise away from you, but you can forfeit it by foolishly neglecting the means of grace by which the risen Jesus sends his Spirit to you to keep you in this faith. You can foolishly get all tangled up again in the dying things, in the things of this dying world, in the dying routine of a dying life, and in the sin that so easily entangles. On this Easter day, hear the word, repent, and believe the good news. Jesus Christ is risen. You who have been baptized into the crucified and risen Christ, rejoice in your baptism and in this gift he has given to you. If you have not yet been baptized, then put it off no longer. If you're a communicant member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, then come to the feast today of the Holy Supper of the Lamb. If you're not a communicant member of Emmanuel, then take the time to take the classes so that you can learn this faith and confess it together with us and join us for this feast in the future. Because Jesus lives and loves each one of you here, he has sent his Holy Spirit. He has brought you into contact with his gospel today. If never before, then today. He brings his Holy Spirit into this sanctuary, into this place, to call you and to comfort you and to give you the strength to face both life and death with courage and even with joy. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.